You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to Issues Etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Christ's birth, like this tree, is a reminder that God is always with us. We may neglect him, we may reject him, but he never forsakes us.
The New York-based and Washington-based, too, probably media powerhouses, don't quite get religion. We don't get the role of religion in people's lives.
The colors of the rainbow went from blue on one edge of the rainbow to red on the other. And they saw in that a reminder that just as God once destroyed the world with water, he will again destroy the world, this time by fire.
Uber drivers around the world love listening to Issues Etc. on demand while we're waiting for a ride request.
What has it done to the woman at home to have the woman at work? I'm not talking about time or money. One might argue that, well, the American workforce has become entirely dependent on the working woman, the working mother, because, of course, that's a big part of the workforce. It's been one of the things that, well, might have happened with or without feminism, but feminism has certainly accepted the credit for it. But what has it done to the woman at home? That woman, when she is done with her 8 or 12 hours in the workforce, at the workplace, and she returns home, and she is their mother and wife. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, December the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be answering that question with Suzanne Venker here in the first half hour of the program. Then, a little bit later, Dr. Ken Cherb joins us. Our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation continues. We are moving in the Sermon on the Mount, Luther's treatment of it, from Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus will talk about almsgiving and prayer as well. He recommends secrecy. What does that mean? Dr. Carl Fakencher will join us in hour 2 of Issues Etc. We'll be looking forward to the final Sunday in Advent, a gospel reading there that gets us up to and almost through the birth of Christ, preparing us to celebrate Christ's nativity in hour 2 of Issues Etc. Suzanne Venker is a regular guest. She joins us to talk about motherhood and working mothers. She's a married mother of 2 children in St. Louis. She's been a guest on numerous radio and television programs, including The View, Fox and Friends, and The Laura Ingraham Show. She is author of several books, including The Flip Side of Feminism, a forthcoming publication titled The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, and a recent column for The Federalist, Why Acting at Home Like They Act in the Office Will Get Women Divorced. Suzanne, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
What is it about the work environment? How can it affect women and their behavior at home? How can it change it?
So this is more about, that actually wasn't my title, and I'm directing this not specifically towards wives and mothers who are employed, but in fact just wives and mothers in general, because the overarching thing that we stress today is so much about female independence, right, and power for women. And women have been just saturated in this message for so many decades that they have learn to exercise this more masculine side of themselves in order to assert themselves and be more independent, right, and powerful outside the home. And what they've effectively done is become a lot more like men, right? And that's not necessarily a terrible thing in certain environments, but when you translate that to a relationship or to marriage, it's a big fat failure. And that was the argument of my article. In the end, my argument for women is that they need to effectively switch gears and not, you know, not bring that same persona that they bring to the workplace into their marriage, because it doesn't work. Now, I also say, and this is a really important caveat, that this same attitude and approach can work when you're at home with your kids. Because think about it, a woman is completely in charge of her children throughout the day, right? There's no boss. And in fact, they might even be more susceptible to the types of things that I'm talking about in terms of not being able to take a step back and just be softer in their approach with their husbands, just as easily as the woman who's at work can, if that makes sense. It's just a little bit broader than the article laid out. That's all I'm saying.
So it may be that certain behaviors that women have learned to adapt to in terms of the workplace, and as you say, kind of acting more like men, behaving and thinking more like men, that in the context of work, you know, depending on the situation, are really helpful. But when you bring them home and apply them to your husband, then you're asking for trouble. Is that just your simple point?
That's it. That is it. Because ultimately, two people cannot drive the same car. I mean, that's not, nobody can argue with that. You know, you need somebody who's going to drive the car and somebody who's going to sit in the passenger seat. And so in order for a relationship to work, it has to be complementary, which is what it was intended to be, and not competitive, which is my primary argument, that when you're competing with your husband, you're in effect bumping up against his more alpha nature, and that doesn't work, right? So that was really the gist of the article, was talking about masculinity and femininity, and that those two things are absolutely critical for a relationship to be successful. And so we have now are effectively women acting, you know, masculinized women, which is not at all what men want. That's not what they're looking for when they get married, right? You're not looking for another man unless, you know, that's another subject, but the average guy is not looking for a man when he gets married. So
you actually use as an example, former news anchor Edie Hill and what she says about how this very thing happened for her.
Precisely. So she brought this, you know, hard charging, I can do everything myself attitude, because that's what her mother taught her, to her marriage, her first marriage. And ultimately that didn't work because she was honest enough to say really what it was about was everything had to be done my way. And I was the only one who could do it in the proper way. And I was not comfortable with sitting back and letting someone else do something, quote unquote, for me or instead of me. And what she ultimately ended up with was this power struggle. And then they ended up divorced as a result of that. Now, I don't think that is in any way uncommon. I think it's very common. And I also think there are plenty of marriages that don't wind up divorced, but they stay in that power. They stay married, but they're still in that power struggle. And I also don't think that it has to be, as I said at the beginning, a wife who's working outside the home. I think this can happen when you're at home with the kids as well. And in fact, I think you might even be more susceptible, like I said, because at least wives who are employed most of them have a boss of some sort at work. And so they're not necessarily entirely independent in terms of what they're doing, whereas moms at home are. So just trying to switch gears from mom mode to wife mode at the end of the day is just as necessary as the, you know, employed wife to the wife.
So in other words, mom at home with the kids all day long, she is by very force of the fact the boss. And so when dad comes home, if she remains in boss mode with dad, she's going to be in boss mode with the kids. But if she remains in boss mode with the dad, again, probably asking for trouble.
That's right. And this is the theme for my new book that will be out in February. And it comes from a personal place, because that's essentially that was the modeling I had growing up with my mother, which is why it's so important to not hone in on just it being, I point out that it's more recent today because the way we're fostering, the message that we foster from the culture today is that women don't need men, right? And that they should be independent of them and assertive and go out and get what they want. And there's no discussion of marriage and how that same philosophy and attitude will not transfer. And so back in the day, in my mother's day, you didn't have that message from the culture. So that doesn't mean that women still weren't susceptible to, you know, being the way some are, but it didn't have that added pressure from the culture. And so that's kind of the distinction that I make in the book, is that it's worse today because of the message from the culture.
Does the factor of later marriage play into this? And I'm thinking about it this way, Suzanne, that young women are encouraged to go out and make a career or at least start a career for themselves. So their primary experience out of high school and college, while they may date around or something like that, their primary experience is going to be in that workplace. And then they may be in that workplace for 10, 15 years before they decide to settle down and get married. And by that time, it's an old habit. And those die hard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, essentially what I'm arguing is not a simple thing. We're talking about a major mind shift, but it absolutely can be done. It's just a matter of really teaching women how, you know, how do you do that? And why should you? Because you kind of assume what the answer is for a more peaceful marriage and certainly for a marriage that stays together and doesn't break apart. So I think that example of Edie Hill that you pointed out at the beginning, I don't want to see that. I don't think that it's, I think their marriage is hard enough without this added piece to it. You know, I mean, it's challenging. So anything that can be done to alleviate that is obviously a positive thing. So I think the things that are unnecessary should be thrown out.
Can we also add to this that what you're suggesting women do is really not only what's best for husband and marriage and family, but it's really best for them as well, that this is part of who they are and they need to exercise that?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up. So it's natural and normal for, you know, women want to be taken care of. Women want to have a man who is stronger, who is safe, who is going to take care of them. But that has been so diminished in our society that women are afraid to say that that's what they want. But that's just the human condition, and it doesn't have anything to do with whether or not we're so honed in on this traditional 50s model and dissing it as though it's this horrible state that one would be in. But that's not what this is about. This is about embracing nature for what it is and letting it be and understand that when you are able to do that, you're going to find this shift that occurs that makes your relationship stronger, not weaker, and it makes you as a person stronger, because self-reliance is exhausting. I mean, if you can't count on somebody else, especially the person you marry, to pick up the slack or let him do something without your instruction, then you're never really understanding what strength and intimacy can result from surrendering, I guess, to that model.
And I guess that we should say that men shift gears too, between work and home. I don't know if it's as contrast as a woman behaving more like a man at work and then coming home, and as you say, being a lady at home with husband and children. But there is a shift of gears for men from workplace back to father, and not just provider, but then protector, and even to a masculine extent, nurturer. Talk about that.
Absolutely. That's another great thing. I definitely didn't talk about that in the article, but absolutely, men have to do the same thing. And it's really about understanding that a marriage or a relationship has the exact same tools that you're going to use at the office or even to raise kids are not at all needed for a marriage or a relationship. It's a completely different domain with a different set of tools, its own unique set of tools. And you have to be able to move back and forth between them if you want to be successful in both arenas. And so men have to do this as well, because they have to shift with that relationship with their wives that is completely different from their coworkers or their own bosses, or maybe they are the boss at work, you know, whatever the case may be. But they absolutely have to shift too. And they're going to be more nurturing at home than they would at work, because they have children and yet they have a wife to take care of.
Finally, then, you have said it several times here, and I think it just bears repeating again, that what you're suggesting is very difficult, especially if they're old habits, and even if they aren't, very difficult to do, but worth it. Talk about that.
Right. So this is a very personal thing for me, which is how this whole concept came about. It's several years in the making, the book. But I am, by nature, somebody who's fiercely independent, and I do like to have my hands in everything, and I want to, you know, it's really, this is about an issue of control. That's the bottom line. So if you're a controlling person by nature, you're going to have problems in your relationship. But let's just face it, whether you're a man or a woman, if you cannot learn to capitulate or to ignore something, right? Forget about something, or to not speak up every time you have an opinion. There's a whole list of things, recommendations that I make based on what I had to learn to do the hard way myself. And so I come at it just talking from the female's position. It was interesting that you mentioned that about the man or the husband, but this is really all about women and how it's become such a huge issue for them in the last several decades, one that I understand very well, although I came to the table or came to it in a very different way. I was certainly not taught the same things that modern women were by my family, but I think the same kind of mindset can become part of you for a whole host of reasons. It's not just the culture. That was just one big one. But it can be undone, so to speak, and things can get better, but you have to be able to look in the mirror, number one, and really understand that the change begins with you and accept that. And then you need a little motivation, you know, a little someone to help you sort of figure out how to make that happen. If indeed you're having strife at home and you're like two people, like two bulls trying to have the last word or what have you. And so that's ultimately what it's about.
Do you have a boy and a girl? What are your children's?
Yeah.
What are you modeling? Yeah. What are you modeling for your daughter by making that shift, consciously making that difficult shift, as you say, kind of contrary to your personality? What are you modeling for your daughter in her future marriage?
So that's really great. So she is. This is funny. I'm glad you asked that. She is 100%. Well, I shouldn't say 100%, but she is complete opposite personality as mine. She's very, very, very beta like, and I'm very alpha like. So we really don't have anything in common personality-wise. So I've actually learned a lot from her. And I've actually had conversations with her where I've said, how should I say this to Dad? Should I say this differently? And then she'll tell me how to say it in a softer way. Isn't that interesting? I'm glad you asked me this. I haven't thought about that in the last couple months. But she's seeing that I am just, instead of giving up or having terrible conflict here in our home or getting divorced or something, that I'm actually making a concerted effort to make things more peaceful. Not that they were ever bad. And I get into all this in the book. There's a whole range of, it can go from, you know, one end extreme to the other, but it's just about seeing me and her dad for sure work every day towards trying to get it right or make it better, as opposed to running away or having huge fights. So that just doesn't happen here anymore. So I'd say if anything, she's seen, the message that she's getting is, wow, marriage can really, if it's difficult, it can, and you put the effort in and you're willing to look at yourself, it can work, but you just have to be willing to look at yourself. That's, I think, the message she's getting most.
Suzanne Venker is a married mother of two children in St. Louis. She's been a guest on numerous radio and television programs, including The View, Fox and Friends, and The Laura Ingraham Show. She's author of several books, including The Flip Side of Feminism, a forthcoming publication titled The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, and a recent column for The Federalist, Why Acting at Home Like They Act in the Office Will Get Women Divorced. You can read the column and check out Suzanne's books at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Suzanne, keep up the good work.
Thanks, Todd.
Martin Luther takes up the subject of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 6, where he talks about giving alms. Do it in secret, he says, or making your prayers. Do that in secret as well. What is Christ talking about then when it comes to Christian piety? Dr. Ken Cherub will continue our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation right after this.
This is a man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing. Not a woman on earth.
Christians, young and old, are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. The San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldviewsa.org. worldviewsa.org.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.